Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Did I wait for the appropriate 8 seconds, or did I jump the gun?
No, you jumped it again.
You didn't.
You've already jumped it.
You're 0 for 1 now.
Abdallah and Black are in, as always, but they will be playing an exceptionally large role today because Sylvia's off and I have a migraine. I learned two things in the last 5 minutes. One was...
You okay over there? You're firing stuff at us with a hockey stick.
Before we start, though, we're only helping you if you help us.
Is that a threat?
No, it's just a request. We're only helping you.
Yeah.
If you help us.
Is that how you used to run Cap's show in the morning?
I scratch your back, you scratch my back.
Right? Well, Cap show is...
Well, I would prefer you put your shirt on so there will be no back scratch.
No, you can be a shirt on scratch.
That's true.
I rub your back, you rub my back,
you can keep the shirt on and go under the shirt.
But my point is this.
This is going to be a great four-hour ride.
This is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Start their weekend.
Fired up.
It's going to be lit. Pour yourself a drink. Open up a cold, refreshing Miller Lite.
Do we have any booze here at the station?
I can find some.
I think we got some stuff laying around.
My point is
But I'm going to be driving home, man.
I think we need some party music.
I can only see out of one eye right now.
Tom, do you need some party music? You want some party music?
Yeah. That's not party music for me. It's not the
disco,
kind of party
disco,
I go
disco,
to.
Disco, isn't it the party I'm going to?
There's sawdust on the floor, and there may or may not be a mechanical ball.
Disco.
This is what I learned. This is what I learned.
So if we help you for the next 4 hour ride,
you'll get
a paycheck on Wednesday. That's the deal.
You have to stay and help us from 6 to 7.
Yeah. Done.
Special baseball show.
You know I will.
You're going to help us on the baseball show?
Yes!
Well, I was going to do the baseball show!
Yeah!
I was going to do the baseball show! Disco!
I thought that would take a lot more convincing.
We'll walk you right up to first pitch on the north side.
It was 7 o'clock.
That's first pitch. 7:10, 7:15, something like that. Yeah. We'll walk you up to close to first pitch. How about that?
So what'd you learn?
Give me some more music. I feel like I'm going to be taken back to my youth today. I learned two things. Again, with the Cubs and Sox about to take the field tonight on the north side. I knew that Abdallah was a Cub fan. I did not know that Chris Black, that you were a Sox fan. And the other thing that I learned was, as you guys admitted, that everything on the air is a bit.
It's not that it's a bit.
What do you mean that we admitted it?
We didn't admit anything.
We were just giving you a bit, and then you asked, is this a bit? And we said, yeah, it's a bit. You said, okay, be serious, and then we answered with a bit.
And then you turned the song on.
Yeah.
Then you turned the music on.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, Tom. The E in ESPN...
is entertainment.
Is entertainment.
Yeah.
And if from 2 to 6 p.m. every day... with you and Sylvie, that's what we do. We entertain. And then on the baseball show from 6 to 7, and then on Black and Abdallah from 7 to 8.
Guess what happens then?
Can you guys
more
dance?
More entertainment.
No.
Do you guys dance at all?
No.
When this music comes on, do you get the hives?
Belly
dance. You break out in hives?
Belly dance. In my country.
You just groove to it.
All right, so Cubs and Sox. I want to get to Bears football talk here in a second, but can you guys manufacture any type of argument? Like, is this... Sox fan, Cubs fan. I mean, does this rivalry mean anything to you? Your team's finally starting to, you know, generate some enthusiasm and some excitement, Black. Why don't you turn around and smack Abdallah right across his cubby face?
Okay. So usually I would say this is the dumbest rivalry in this city. Usually. But they actually play each other. They play each other in meaningful games this year, and they'll play each other at the very last series of the season, which will have impact on who is seeding in the playoffs and who's getting in. So this year, it actually makes a lot of sense. Most years, I think it's completely manufactured nonsense, but I think this year, this is interesting. I like this.
I say we party.
I agree. Are we waiting for the music?
Is that why? I thought it was Mr. Q. Yeah, that was your cue. Who's the old guy now?
This is going to be a good show.
Listen, I think it's going to be a good weekend. And I'm talking about baseball, and I'm talking about the evaluation of our football team as well. And the Blackhawks aren't doing anything anymore. But I got to tell you, last night I felt a little weird because I went home. I was coming off the Zanny ride. I don't advise anybody out there to go on it unless you're getting in an MRI machine and you are horribly claustrophobic.
No, it's prescribed to you by a doctor.
Correct. Absolutely. You know,
some people take it for flying.
But like I sat down on the couch and there was no baseball.
Last night?
Yeah.
There was great basketball.
I was used to watching Cubs or Sox baseball.
One team was playing basketball. The other team was like, hey, we won game one. Remember?
That's right after I said that I thought on the show that I thought the Portland was going to get past the Lakers in this series. And then late last night, I went to sleep when the Lakers had adequately put the Trailblazers away as the fourth quarter tipped off. But
no, Tom, you're right about that. The routine of having two teams playing each and every night,
it's been glorious.
It's been awesome. And having yesterday, the White Sox play early, and then you have basically, you know, a full day before we get to the next game, which they'll play tonight, so we're back on that routine for the weekend. But it was kind of strange that there wasn't a local team playing last night.
For the first time, yeah.
I'm with you.
Cubs had the night off. The Sox had dispatched to the Tigers earlier in the day. We talked to Lucas Giolito about his tremendous performance. I think we'll hear from Lucas again at 5:30 tonight. We'll replay you some of that. Jesse Rogers will join us at 5 to help preview Cubs and Sox. I'm excited for this series as well. I mean, when was the last time both of these teams were pointed in the right direction at the same time and were squaring off?
Yeah, it's been some time. So let me ask you this question. Who's the better team right now? Is it assumed that it's the Cubs? But I feel like because there are bullpen issues, we don't know what Kimbrel's going to give us throughout the rest of this series. He's looked good as of late.
You know what I would say, Chris? I would give the Cubs a slight edge. And this may be unfair and unreasonable, but based solely on who they've been the last short period of time. Like, I'm going to give them the advantage. Their starting pitching has been better. I know that they now have a few issues because Chatwood, who started the season well, then had a very bad outing and is now not available. I haven't seen a lot from their bats, but the bottom of their order has produced quite a bit unexpectedly. I would give the Cubs the advantage with the starting rotation. I would give the White Sox the advantage in their bullpen. And I would definitely give the White Sox the advantage in their you know, everyday lineup. So it sounds like I just gave the White Sox the edge. But
Okay, let me give you a fourth option. Who's the better manager? Ricky Renteria or David Ross?
Well, I don't know if we know who David Ross as a manager is, but
I trust Ivy more than I trust
Even not knowing Ross, isn't that still better than what most Sox fans have complained
about
Renteria?
Probably so. Again, I think the Sox are a great story. I just think that they may be, just a year away from being a really, really good story.
Well, look, let's be
real. And I don't trust their starting rotation. I mean, Giolito was great yesterday, but he'd had a bad start before then. Keuchel's a guy that I believe has once given you seven innings.
He's
a good pitcher. Is he Yu Darvish good the way Yu Darvish has been this year? No. I think it's a pretty close matchup right now because the White Sox can mash.
Well, let's be real though, right? If this was, and I understand before people tweet at me and call me, I get it. You only play who's on your schedule. I understand that. But to use a college football term, they ain't played nobody yet.
I'm with you
on that.
Both teams ain't played nobody. Neither team has.
So,
well, I think the White Sox have. I mean, that Twins
team.
Well, they both played the Twins
and the Indians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, I think the Cubs haven't played the Twins, have they?
They played the Indians.
Right. I mean, the Twins are the best team that has been on either team's schedule.
So I think that. And we're not going to see them play any other teams besides the two divisions until the playoffs start.
By the way, the Indians are 16-9 with one of the worst offenses in baseball to this point. Their pitching's been
great. Best rotations in baseball, though. So because of that, I think that both teams right now, going into this weekend, I think the White Sox are the hotter team, obviously. I think what you're going to get from the White Sox. You're going to get Dallas Keuchel tonight. You're going to get the offense is hot. They've been rolling in the last five
tomorrow
games.
You get Cease, whose stuff is great, who has harnessed it recently.
Yeah.
But is he going to be a little overheated facing the team that traded him? Like, ooh. I don't know. I don't know if that'll be a factor. Now, the fact that there's no fans in the stands, maybe that nullifies him coming to the north side and actually pressing a little too much.
No, I think there's going to be a chip on the shoulders of the Southsiders this weekend because they know they can make a mark on this season, right? Like, here's the thing. Again, back to the rivalry. I don't think they necessarily care that it's like, yeah, we beat you, Cubs, take that. I think it's more of a, if they do some damage
just
to the...
into Cap.
Well, I was just giving you an example. Go with me on this thought.
All right, I'm going
if they do
you.
Some damage this weekend against one of the better teams in baseball, don't you think that would raise some eyebrows nationally?
Are you calling the Cubs one of the better teams in baseball?
To this point, wouldn't you say they're one of the better winning percentages?
I mean, the record is the Dodgers have a better record in the National League than them, and that's the only team.
Yeah, so most people have looked at the Sox at this point as a bit suspect, young players trying to figure out their way, playing against the Tigers. Of course, you beat up on the Tigers. But if you take two of three or you sweep the Cubs this weekend, don't you think that nationally people are going to be talking about this team arriving and being able to actually be a competitive team in the playoffs?
Yes, I think that's a fair point. I would say this from my esteemed baseball perspective. I think the Cubs are a team that I don't believe they're as good as their record. I don't know how good they are at this point. And I think the White Sox are exciting as hell. But as I said earlier, maybe a year away and they're starting rotation, regardless of what Joe and Joliet wants to yell at me about, I think the starting rotation is still a little thin and suspect at this point for them to be at the top of the mountain when the season is over. That doesn't mean that both teams can't get to the postseason. It doesn't mean that both of them won't be exciting. But again, the Chicago Cubs, to me, at 16-8, are not as good as their record says they are. And Bill Parcells would smack me across the face for saying that because you are what your record says you are. But I'm not so good. I'm not so sure how good they really are. You haven't seen them face a team like the Dodgers or the Twins or the Rays or the Yankees or the A's. And they won't because the shortened season doesn't have those teams on their schedule. So I don't think I'm even really going to know who they are until you get to the postseason, which to me is, I mean, they're already in because of the math that we did earlier in the week.
Yeah, it's a fair take there because Fangraphs, their projection for the rest of the season, they're suggesting the Cubs over 36 games will go 19-17. So just over 500, but it's not the 667 ball that they're playing to this point.
Right. Like, I don't have any doubt. Like, I'd put significant cash down on the Chicago Cubs participating in the 2020 Major League Baseball playoffs. If, in fact, we get there, hopefully we will, and I expect them to occur. The White Sox, I'm not so sure. As I said, the Cleveland Indians are 16-9 with an offense that has not produced much. The Twins can rake. We'll see. I mean, it'll be fun. I think this weekend is going to be a lot of fun for sports fans, for baseball fans, and at least in a very small way, Chicago is once again, in my small brain, Baseball City USA.
I feel like that walking around these halls with the Sox fans that are here, seeing it on Twitter, like Black, seeing it on Twitter from my White Sox friends, that the White Sox base, their players and their fans can taste blood.
Are they
weekend.
About to get chesty? Are they chesty yet, or are they on
chesty.
The verge of becoming chesty?
They're chesty.
They are.
They're very chesty right now.
And will they turn and run if, in fact, it doesn't go well for them? Or do you think they'll continue to be chesty and say, we'll see you when we meet again this year later at the end of the season?
I think that, well, I mean, this series does mean something for both teams now that you're playing the shortened season.
This is going to be the most potent lineup the Cubs have faced, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Cubs pitchers? I mean, isn't this by far the most potent top-to-bottom lineup that they have faced?
Yeah, and it's some of the best pitching that the White Sox have faced.
I'd say it's going to be a baseball party, Chris.
So you want some manufactured back-and-forth Cubs-Sox? You want some of that, Wad?
If you want.
All right, Abdallah, how about this? Yeah. Ready for this one? This is going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. Hey, Abdallah, why don't you go check out what Javi Baez is batting?
Whoa!
What's he hitting there?
Whoa!
What's his average?
What you got?
What do you got there, Abdallah? Baez's average?
What do you got?
I raise you, I don't care about average. Yeah. I care about his drip. And have you seen, to quote the great Soulja Boy, you is probably going to stick a baseball so far.
Whoa.
The White Sox throat that you'll be tasting it for the rest of the season.
That's good because we enjoy baseball, so we will taste the baseball.
I got Keuchel and Lester tonight. Tomorrow I've got Undecided versus Hendricks. Undecided is Hurling.
It's Cease, isn't it?
Is it Cease?
Yeah,
and then on
Cease.
Sunday we have Cease and Darvish. So tomorrow, at least on the ESPN baseball website, are you calling our brethren in Bristol liars?
No.
Do you guys want to talk football?
Ball!
Or do you want to continue this manufactured Cubs and Sox hate?
What's Chris Bryant doing?
Is it going to be weird when Eloy Jimenez runs into a brick wall this weekend because he thinks that there's a...
that was a good one. I can't deny that one bit.
Let's party. Let's party, Black.
I'm with you. I'm not against the party.
When I say let's party.
I didn't know that that was the cue. Yes. By the way, Cease is pitching on Saturday. So.
Okay, well, ESPN's got it wrong.
Gio's going on Sunday, right? Gonzalez is going Sunday?
Yeah. I think you maybe. I think
you never wrong. Answered. What's up with Chris Bryant?
I think Gio DeFalco may be a better option for the Sox at this point. You guys want to talk Bears football when we come back?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Practice is over. They practice in the morning. We'll bring to you, I think Coach Nagy spoke. Maybe there were some leading questions for the coach about his quarterbacks, and maybe there weren't. Either way, we'll bring you what Coach Nagy had to say next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
You know it's going to be a long Friday when our buddy Greg Braggs has completely taken over your Twitter feed.
Over under how many times he calls the show today?
I don't know. He's always a welcome participant.
Oh, yeah.
He used his punch card up this week.
No, I don't think so. He has an unlimited punch card.
He goes through.
I got to tell you, too. Like, I told you I had a migraine. You know why I got a migraine? I was reading Twitter for like an hour and a half this morning when I got up, and I was using the wrong glasses.
Ugh.
So, like, I got dizzy. I got, like, my head. I got a migraine. Then I got nauseous. But there were so many. Like, there's this whole Mitch Trubisky versus Nick Foles thing has just kind of dominated everybody's Bears brain.
See, and that's the kind of the problem.
I kind of understand it, but it kind of is wearing you out already.
Well,
isn't
that's really the problem with Greg Braggs and the multiple ways that you can reach us. Like, you're at TWaddle87 on Twitter. You're at TommyBoy87 on the gram.
Right? I am. I think so.
Right? And then you can also watch us on Twitch. You can watch Tommy right now, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Download the Twitch app.
I may have to do the show like a pirate and cover one eye because I can only see out of one of them right now.
Was the Twitch cam on earlier when you were firing hand sanitizer bottles at Abdallah with the hockey stick?
Time out. He was shooting them at me, so I picked up an umbrella and chucked it at him.
And then you jumped under the table, right?
Yeah, didn't want to get hit in the face with something coming off a hockey stick.
I was reading something, and I heard, like, banging on the floor, and I look over, and you're on all fours under the desk.
I was told this was going to be a party today.
You threw a golf umbrella.
That's what I was told.
You can watch all of that nuttiness on Twitch. It's all brought to you by Night Games and Oak Forest and Miller Lite. The ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Championship presented by Miller Lite is back. And of course, it's 2020, so it's in a virtual and exclusive fashion on August 27th. The only way to enter is to go to one of the 10 participating locations and get the text to win code now through August 23rd. That's on Sunday, boys. Go to Night Games Bar and Grill in Oak Forest to find your text to win code. Get the code and enjoy some ice cold Miller Lite at Night Games in Oak Forest. Please drink responsibly. Go to ESPNFFC.com for more details.
I did see some references today about how, why would anyone, when it comes to value, and listen, we're not there. We're here. We're here having a party. We're not there watching Bears practice. There was some complaining, or there was some opining that how can you get so upset about one play? And look, again, I don't have a dog in this hunt. I don't. When Sylvie put the text question out, or the web poll question out, what, you know, who are you cheering for? I voted C. The one quarterback that gives me the best chance to win. I don't care. I don't care who wins this. But the reason why I kind of, my skin started to crawl, my temperature went up, and my face turned red was just the description of the mistake that Mitch made in practice. Yes, guys, it was one play, but it's a play that can't happen at a high school level.
It's a play that he has done multiple times just last year in his third year in the NFL.
So, again, I just want to clarify something for those that are, you know, this is some sort of battle. This is a tug of war for all the marbles in Marble Land.
For Mitch's heart?
Whatever it is, I'm just saying, like, hear what I'm saying to you now. I wasn't at practice. I don't know who had the better overall day. I'm not evaluating that. All I'm telling you is the one thing that stayed with me is that a fourth-year guy who has shown the propensity to not always do the right thing mentally on the football field exhibited the same issue, same negative issue on the field yesterday at practice. So that's why we spent time on it. Now, with that in mind, you know, as it happens every day, I believe Matt Nagy had some comments about how both quarterbacks play today, right, Chris?
Yeah, so he was asked, it seemed as if, I believe this was Patrick Finley who asked the question, it seemed as if Mitch was scrambling to the sideline and threw it away today. He did not take the sack.
Was he given a cookie and a juice box for that? I mean, because everybody out there, you know.
So
which is it? Can I be really upset that a fourth-year quarterback in the NFL didn't have the field for the game to throw it out of bounds? Now, so today he does. So today what we're going to do is overpraise him just to make everyone feel better? Is
so,
that good?
So Finley asks Nagy, he says, is that progress, right? Is Mitch making progress? Here's the response from Matt Nagy, which I thought it was interesting. Once again, if we go back to the way he answered the questions about Mitch yesterday, take a listen to the coach of the Chicago Bears.
And then as far as the throwing the ball out of bounds, I mean, we've seen a bunch of different plays today. And to tell you, you know, there's I thought both quarterbacks, their decision making, they were making quicker decisions today. You know, again, go back and watch the tape and see the timing with the wide receivers and everything. But there today, it felt like a pretty good day today.
So non-committal specifically about Mitch getting that cookie that we're talking about, throwing it away now.
It's
you see
just,
what I'm saying?
Like, yes, no doubt. And to me, it's just a problem because we're focusing on one of the most basic elements of playing the position, like just feel. So the fact that we are now, Mitch learned from his mistake, fourth-year quarterback. He's 26 years old. He's played the position all his life. He learned today to throw it away in goal line when he got to the sideline. That to me is weird that we are having that. That is kind of the focal point of the conversation. And I know what people are going to respond to hearing me say that. Well, you're the one focusing on it. It's just one play. The point is that is stuff that shouldn't even be part of the conversation. That's my point.
Yeah, I'm with you on
that. And that's where we are. This is what we're talking about. So I guess, you know, there's a push and pull here as we're evaluating the quarterback competition on a daily basis. Is there any clarity? I know that our buddy Dan Wiederer from the Trib is going to join us at 4 o'clock, but is there any other, are there any other people opining?
Well, and, you know, Waddle, the thing that I keep pointing to is what I think is strange is that people are so looking for anything to give praise to Trubisky. When, if you go back to the way you started this segment, I voted on Sylvie's question on the poll saying, you just got to win games. Like, I don't care who the quarterback is, as long as we have a winning football team to root for this season. So I don't get this idea that people are pulling for Mitch because they're such strong Mitchell Trubisky supporters that they're actually blinded by the actual support of the football team.
Yeah.
Like, if he can't figure it out, tough luck, but he's not going to be the guy.
And
I don't know why people are planting their flag on this concept that in year four, with every opportunity given to him and every coddle along the way, that he's been able to just not do anything with it. I mean, no other quarterback situation in the NFL is like this.
No, you're
because,
right.
Because, like, look at the Browns. If Baker Mayfield is not good this year, they're going to be looking for a new quarterback next year.
They should.
If Sam Darnold is not good this year, guess what the Jets are going to do next year in the draft?
They should be looking for another quarterback.
They're going to be looking for another quarterback. But, like, for some reason, there are people in this town and there are people who look at this football team and they so desperately need Mitch to succeed. It's a weird thirst that I don't get.
It really is. And you know what it has done, Chris and Adam? It has taken your eye off the ball with regard to other areas of that offense that need to improve.
Yeah.
Because we've all universally said 2019 was an awful season across the board for everyone associated with the offense. The offensive line was bad. Collectively, the receivers and the tight ends dropped more passes than any group in the National Football League. You got nothing out of the running game. Matt didn't, you know, put Mitch in the position consistently enough to make plays in areas where Mitch does have some skills. So, I mean, across the board, I want to know, is the offensive line look better? Or is there no hitting so we can't tell? What does David Montgomery look like at this point? Is Anthony Miller backing up at full speed? Cole Kmet has opened some eyes. Jimmy Graham has opened. Like, these are all issues. We can all sit here and continue to talk about whether or not Mitch threw the ball out of bounds or took a sack in a goal line play when, while he's the most important commodity on that offense, there are other issues. There are other conversations that I would like to have about seeing whether or not this unit can get better.
But Waddle, none of this is real. Like this, none of this is real right now. None of this is.
Is this football inception? Is that what this is?
No, none of this. This is none of this.
That movie freaked the hell out of me.
Maybe it's Tenet. Maybe we're doing stuff in reverse. I
gotta ask you about that.
Maybe it's Interstellar.
Later.
Maybe I'm in a bookcase watching a quarterback.
Listen, you know, timeout. Give me a 20, and I may turn it into a full.
You want me to tell you why none of this is real next?
And I may turn it into a full.
Not only do I want that, but you have to understand you're dealing with someone with a very weak psyche, a man who couldn't get in an MRI machine, a guy who had to leave the movie theater halfway through watching A Beautiful Mind and sit outside on a park bench with his wife in the middle of Old Orchard Mall and had to ask the question, is this life really real? So just be careful how you tread for the remaining 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I'll tell you why none of this is real next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. On Twitter.
So much to get to today. Obviously, Cubs and Sox get after it on the north side. The first of a 3-game series. Both teams pointed in the right direction. Should be a lot of fun. We'll talk to Jesse Rogers at 5 o'clock. Taylor McGregor from the Marquee Network will join us about 3:15 as we'll get you set for, as I said, the first game of 3-game set between our two baseball teams. Dan Wiederer will join us at 4 o'clock to talk Bears football. And, of course, the Bulls come away last night in the NBA draft lottery with a number 4 overall selection. And our NBA expert, Chris Black, will tell you exactly who they will draft number 4 and why.
See, all of that is real. All of that is taking place.
Yeah.
All of that is happening.
I wanted to get that out of the way before we...
Yeah. We're going to talk to Dan. We're going to talk to Jesse. Chris is going to drop his NBA
knowledge. How weird is it for Taylor to join this network too in the middle of a pandemic and the first time she's reporting for the Marquee Network and on the Chicago Cubs, she's basically every night standing in a stadium that has no fans in it.
You can ask her.
That's really weird. That would be really weird.
Ask you for her. Answer that for her. So
okay, what's not real?
Okay, so we live in some people believe we live in a simulation, right? Some people believe that, like, maybe we're just we're in the world that's around the cat's necklace, like in Men in Black, and like that's where our galaxy is. Some people believe that we're in the Matrix.
What about the Truman Show?
Some people believe that we're.
I never saw that.
You ever take a walk and make eye contact with just enough people to make you think, why are all these people looking at me? You ever take a walk and that happens
they're
to
actors.
You?
They're actors.
I've never felt that way, but I don't. Maybe it's because I'm not. I don't feel self-important like you. Like everyone's looking at you.
My point is this: everything that is happening right now in these practices isn't real.
Up at Hallis Hall.
Up at Hallis Hall.
Okay.
None of this is real.
What is real?
There's nothing on the line. There's no games at stake. There's nothing. There's no records at stake. Well, None of this is real. Hold on.
My bad.
None of this is real. And still, this dude is messing stuff up. This guy, Trubisky, is still stepping out of bounds. He's still taking sacks.
Time out. Before you go any further, I just want people, because I've got a headache,
yeah,
and I don't want everyone flooding my Twitter. Well, I'm not even going to look at Twitter because it gives me a headache, but just don't come after me. There's two haters on the show today,
wow.
Okay?
Propaganda.
They're both behind the glass. Hold on.
Listen here, Cap. We are here to support you and to be a part of the show.
That's it. You know what? You made the ultimate error. You made the catastrophic mistake.
You said we were haters.
I am a Bears fan. Chris is a Bears fan. I'm a proud Bears game attendee when Chris invites me.
You're that little fish that clings only, to the back of the
no,
shark
no, no.
in the ocean.
Whenever I'm invited, I gladly...
You're a back sucker is what you are. You're this fish that sucks on the back
on
of the shark.
No, I greatly appreciate Chris and his dad, Pat, know that I greatly appreciate every opportunity to go to a Bears game. I love it. I love going to Bears games when I'm invited to go to games. I don't care who wins this competition, but it seems like when it's not real, all we do is pat this dude on the back and celebrate his little successes.
Wait till it gets real. So
here's my point. If this dude is messing up and we're like, he didn't screw up today, hooray, when it's not real, why are we propping up the dude that's like, yeah, this is my job, this is what I'm supposed to be doing? Why are we going after Nick Foles and promoting Nick Foles and saying, oh, well, Nick Foles hasn't screwed up in practice because it's practice. You're not supposed to be screwing up.
It's fair.
I do think the conversation you had with Jeff Dickerson yesterday, I think that's a conversation that Bears fans need to hear. And I know the conversation you're going to have with Dan Weider, he brings great information to every show he comes on here on ESPN 1000. I think that's what you kind of need to follow with this whole conversation, because like Abdallah's saying, there are people that want to celebrate each and every little thing. And it's like, there's a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture here is this quarterback has given every opportunity to succeed, and he's going to have to outplay a veteran who knows the system, who's comfortable with the head coach, by a margin to get the starting gig.
Well, I would also say, again, as I was mentioning earlier, I don't have a dog in the hunt. I just want to win games, and I'm looking for average, by the way. I'll continue to repeat that until the season kicks off. I want average.
Being average is just not acceptable around here.
That's fine. And I want Mitch, and I want Nick Foles to have that perspective. As a fan who has watched this offense the last several years, I would sign up for average because I know how damn good their defense is. That's all I'm saying. So I want Mitch to have that idea and that perspective in his mind. I'm just telling you what, as a fan and an analyst of the game, what I'm hoping for. With that in mind, I would say this for Nick Foles. I would say this for Mitch Trubisky. I would say this for anybody who is up at Hallis Hall and has the ability to watch practice. You may disagree with me, but from experience, unless there's a live pass rush coming at you as well, it's all window dressing. Like, I mean, when there's no fear of a pass rush and it's 7-on-7, like, I mean, that's really window dressing. So I'm glad that you see good accuracy and you see some really good things. But the real determination, and even like, it's weird that we're talking about this almost like it's a high school competition, but the real evaluation process takes place when real life football things are going on. Like when you're taking a snap from Hyde, who's Carl Pekarski, who's been with the Bears ever since I was up there. He's one of the equipment guys with Tony Medley. He's a great guy, fantastic person. You know, he used to be like the center. Like he'd snap the ball to the quarterback and quarterback would drop back and we're 7-on-7. There's no threat to either of the quarterbacks, whether it's Nick or it's Mitch. So the point I'm making is when you start to get to live team drills, and even if that is taking place, I don't know how much of that will take place because of all of the different issues that have changed because of COVID-19. That's when you start to get a better feel for who's got it rolling. Like when you have to step to your left and it's not planned that you have to step to your left because your right guard got pushed back in your face and your eyes still have to be downfield, and you still need to go through your progressions as you're shuffling left, and you're in some strong ways, what you're doing, or some strange ways, what you're doing is you're improvising at the time. Those are the moments where you're actually going to get a good feel. So, John's in Edison Park, and he has a thought. John joins us right now. Two Johns, but the first John's from Edison Park. John, how are you?
Thanks, Tom. I'm good. How are you? Big fan.
Thank you.
I got a question. You keep mentioning, and it kind of aggravates me when you talk about the Bears defense. I know they took a step back last year, but I don't really worry about stats, but I worry about the eye test. Less turnovers, less sacks, can't get off the field. Why do you really think that this is a great defense when they had just the one year?
Well, I think, John, what they're going to do this year, more so than years gone by, I don't know that they'll have the same number of sacks this year that they had in 2018, but adding Robert Quinn, who's an accomplished professional pass rusher, to take the place of Leonard Floyd, who wasn't that, is really going to help. Having Akeem Hicks healthy is really going to help. Again, I was part of the crew telling you in 2019 to be aware that there will be some natural regression to the mean. You cannot sack 100 quarterbacks, take the ball away 100 times, and have 5 or 6 defensive touchdowns every year. The ball doesn't always bounce in your direction.
Well, look, you go 8-8 last year, and you have that prolific year the year before, the historical year. The year before, how many of those in those 8 games that they lost where they were just like, no, not today. Like, this guy's not doing it for us today. So we're just not going to, we're not here today. Like, how many guys are taking plays off, when you're losing to the Saints by 24.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, that's enough for today.
And again, I'm not telling you, I'm just telling you that last year at the end of the season, the number of points they gave up was roughly one more per game last year than they gave up in 2018. They were not dominant, but yet they were very good. I mean, last year, what did they give up in terms? They were fourth in the league in point giving up points. Only the Patriots, the Bills, and the Ravens allowed fewer points in the Bears' defense. And ultimately, at the end of the day, isn't that the ultimate goal? Is to keep the opponent out of the end zone? So the defense that limits the opponent to the fewest number of points is usually going to have a pretty good year, right? The three teams that finished ahead of the Bears and points allowed all went to the postseason. The team behind them did as well, the Minnesota Vikings. And the team behind them was the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they lost all of their quarterbacks. The Kansas City Chiefs were behind them. They won the Super Bowl. Behind the Chiefs was the 49ers. They played in the Super Bowl. Behind the 49ers was the Packers. They played in the NFC title game. The point I'm making is it just gave you the top 10 defenses in terms of points allowed. And the only two teams that did not get to the postseason were the Bears and the Steelers. The Steelers were playing Duck Hodges, for Christ's sake. Okay, a quarterback. So when I say to you that I trust their defense, I think their defense will not be as dominant as they were in 18, but I think consistently, regardless of the numbers, they'll be a better unit in 2000 than they were in 19, especially up front. I love what they've done with their front seven. I think Roquan Smith is a question mark. If he's got all of his ducks in a row, he can be a Pro Bowl caliber player. Danny Trevathan comes back. Akeem Hicks is healthy. Robert Quinn is there. There are a couple of questions in the secondary. I will give you that. But it's my feeling that if this offense is just average, that defense is going to hurt some folks up front and keep them in games. That's just the way I feel. How do you feel? 312-332-3776.
This hour is brought to you by thehomeloanexpert.com. Mortgage interest rates are in the 25s, and they're saving homeowners hundreds and even thousands of dollars a month with an easy refinance. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I don't want to miss.
You having fun yet, Waddle?
I'm having a great time. I love you guys. I don't want to mislead our
and the twos.
And the twos. Like you just said, like mortgage rates are in the 25s. I was like, What are we in the 70s? Are we in the late 60s?
Does that S not look like a 5 if I'm reading it?
But it wouldn't be, that would be the interest rates are in the 25.
Shouldn't it be TWOS if I'm writing, if I'm not? You know.
I'm with you. What they should have done is it should have been a 2 with a lowercase s. But don't walk out of here like strutting like you got it right. Like all you have to have is a hint of knowledge to know that interest rates are at an all-time low and that they would not be in the 25s.
To be fair, he's not a homeowner.
Yeah, I rent, so.
This hour is brought to you by thehomeloanexpert.com. Mortgage rate interest rates are in the 2s. And they're saving homeowners hundreds and even thousands of dollars a month with an easy refinance. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Listen. Yeah, we're...
Look, I don't... Chris and I both...
Interest rates are in the 2s!
We rent. I don't have time for that financing.
Well, there was a time, too,
that property taxes are in the city of Chicago.
I was just going to say, there was a time...
Are you kidding me?
There was a time when owning a house, there was a tax benefit to it. But with the inclusion of the salt tax, would you can, you know, something for somebody else to explain to you?
If I were, I would use a home loan expert.
Oh, absolutely. If I were gonna go and get a mortgage, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How about that?
All right.
Hey, Wild, we were talking a little bit ago about things that were not real. Is there anything else that just boggles your mind when you, like, you see it or you hear about it?
He can't do space.
Space does that to me.
Let me throw this one out there to you guys.
Like, I don't get, like, when people say Mars is 6 months away via a rocket engine or a rocket ship.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
How does that not boggle? Like, how does that boggle your mind? Like, it takes 4 hours to get to L.A. It takes 6 months to get to Mars. Like, what is that?
I don't know. No, I mean, just like everything in space is like.
It's far, right?
Everything about it is like it's one of those things that I cannot process. Like, I can process a lot of other things.
All right, I've got one for you. We work downtown. There's a lot of really tall buildings.
Yes.
In downtown Chicago.
Yep.
Someday in the future, at some point, some of these buildings will have to come down, right? Because they'll want to build new buildings, or they may want to do something.
I don't know. There are a lot of old buildings. Okay. I mean, some of them.
So you're
telling me
for the rest of mankind, we're going to have tall buildings like this? What do you do with them? How do you bring them down? You start at the top and you go brick by brick. Like, stand near a tall building and look up, and then try and figure out the logistics
of how to bring that building down.
Why would you need to bring the building down?
No, I'm saying, like, they just want, like, put something else.
Okay,
there,
you can implode buildings. Where they collapse straight down. They don't blow outward. I mean, you've seen that.
Like on one city block?
Well, you asked me how they're going to do it. I don't have a great answer, but I'm trying to manufacture one and talk through this.
I feel like this is a simple answer for any
No, but this is something contractor. I think about in the logistics to that.
How are we going to bring that big building down?
I'm saying 200 years
bricks.
In the future. 200 years in the future.
My ass will be dead. I don't care.
Well, I'm just saying that with any conversation.
I don't know, but I don't think, Chris, we've ever reached that point because 100 years ago, there were no skyscrapers.
When you fly, do you ever think about the fact that between you and air is like...
Four inches?
Yeah, less than like
no doubt,
5 feet.
Yes. And for whatever reason, that doesn't stress me out. But going into an MRI machine, even an open one, absolutely freaks me out. Like, I used to fly over 100,000 miles a year when I was traveling for work. And I never had any problem with flying. Never. Not once.
We have a city planner. We got a city planner online. Mark's
show,
the city planner.
I got tired of fighting about
planner.
Bears quarterbacks
Mark's
anyway.
Mark's the city planner. Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Gentlemen, every building when it's built is designed to have a useful life. And there is always a teardown procedure. But remember this. There are buildings in Egypt that have lasted decades, millenniums.
Very, very correct.
So don't necessarily think that they need to come down.
How tall are these buildings? How tall are these?
You make building, you live up forever, no problem. What's it? Well, you're dead anyway. It's not your problem.
I don't know. How high are the pyramids?
But Mark, you know this. You're a city planner. They're not in an industrialized, you know, like downtown commercial area.
Yeah, but it's also dynamic. Like, look at the ground that's around them. What is the city developing underneath them? What's the city developing around them? Like, you need to look at what the infrastructure is and engineers. I'm just a planner, but engineers would look at what structural load is, but these don't necessarily need to come down. And if they do,
yes,
it's it's a systematic thing. It's not a bunch of charges that just like bring it down like that Cincinnati structure or whatever.
Why are we picking on Cincinnati, Mark?
I decided to selectively choose Cincinnati.
Because I've been to Cincinnati. Everything's three stories, and you get five-story building.
Why we're talking, about things that leave you with an edge to you. Who do I talk to for property taxes and getting those lowered?
Oh, I got some people up in Lake County.
Okay.
We could talk.
Yeah. Because, I'm tired of having my eyeballs ripped out. It's painful.
Anything more than 33%, Tommy, just walk away. Walk away because they only make money if you make money.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Mark. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
You should get some of those
thanks,
rates.
Chris.
See, we bring up a topic, we get a city planner on.
I felt the same way he did, though. I don't think that they build these giant buildings with the thought that they'll ever come down. They'll stay up forever.
Let me say this. It's not that I think in my head that they have to come down. I worry, for those 300 years in the future, what are they going to do with all these tall buildings? What if they're not in vogue anymore?
I don't think the pyramids is a good example because they're not.
My friend, you have a problem with the pyramid, my friend? Huh, my friend?
I don't,
built forever. They're an impenetrable force. You cannot go into the pyramid unless we tell you to go into the pyramid, my friend.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.